these questions from the Old Testament. There are a number of questions that God asks that drive this point home, the uniqueness of who God is. Now, when I say God, let me start off by saying I am referring specifically to the God of the Bible, the God who reveals himself in the Bible, because the term God is used by many, many different people in many different ways to refer to many different beings or concepts. And the ancient Egyptians, you're probably aware, had many gods, including Amun, Ra, Aten, Osiris, Isis, and Horus. The Hindus have thousands of gods, including Brahman, Vishnu, Shiva, Rama, and Krishna. The ancient Mesopotamians worshipped Ishtar, Marduk, and others. The neighboring clans of ancient Israel worshipped Dagon, Molech, Chemish, Baal, and Astarte, all different gods. The Muslims worship Allah. The ancient Greeks worshipped Neptune, the god of the sea, Apollo, god of the sun, Mars, god of war, Venus and Cupid, goddesses of love or sex, Bacchus, god of wine, Minerva, god of wisdom, Pluto, god of death. All these different gods for all these different purposes, for all these different things. All over the world, people have had gods that they refer to at different points in their life for different things. One of the fastest growing religions in the West today is Wicca. You may not have heard that, but the Wiccans worship the female goddess Mother Earth, and it is one of the fastest growing groups in the West, partly because of its focus on feminism, but also because of a desire to have all the elements of Christianity without the worship of the true God and without any commitment to Jesus Christ. Now, of course, we have all the unnamed gods nowadays of the gods of lust and money and power and image and control. They come in different brands and different shapes and sizes. If we took time this morning, we could compile a list that would almost be endless of all the different gods that people throughout the centuries, including today, have worshipped and continue to worship. And I would venture to say that every one of them, if you examine them, are in one way or another an imagination or fabrication from humans containing human characteristics and qualities that is magnified. That's basically what the gods of this world are. They are a magnification of human attributes. As you read through the Old Testament, however, you discover a God who is very, very, very different than all the other gods that have ever been worshipped in human history. You discover a God who is totally other, totally different. Through Isaiah, the prophet, God asks these questions: to whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Who then is like me? Let him proclaim it. To whom will you compare me or count me equal? To whom will you liken me that we may be compared? Who is there, God is asking? Can you find anyone who is like me? There isn't any, because he's one of a kind. I'd like you to look this morning at two particular things that cause the God of the Scriptures to stand out as unique from all the other gods. Although there are many ways in which God does differ from the gods fashioned by humans, these questions that we'll look at this morning direct your attention to two particular areas. One is his immensity, transcendence, and power in his role as creator and governor of the universe. In Isaiah 66, verse 1 and 2, he says, "Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me?" He's asking them. These guys thought, if only we could build a house, build a temple for God, then God could come and reside in this temple. Duh. Are you going to take the Almighty God and put him in a little box? And unfortunately, even though the Israelites lost sight of that, many times, even in Christian circles today, we do the same thing. We build our wonderful buildings, and that's one of the reasons why I love this place. You know, you come here and you swat flies and you duck the birds and you don't like the heat, but you know what? We don't worry about whether or not you like the color on the stained glass window. We got stained canvas. You know, somehow that you lose sight. After a while, if you get comfortable in here, if you can get comfortable, you realize the only beautiful thing about this place is God. But when we get to the place where all we have left in life is God, we discover He's enough. And somehow we fashion buildings and we fashion systems and we fashion services and these things become our gods. God says, no. There's no God beside me. None. Absolutely none. Where's the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things so that they came into being? Look around you. Look up into the sky at night and realize your Creator, your God, fashioned it all. In December 1995, the Hubble Space Telescope zoomed in on one tiny section of sky near the Big Dipper. And the portion of sky they focused in on was the size of a grain of rice held at arm's length. Okay, that's about the size of sky that this telescope probed into. The spot was chosen precisely because it appeared to be completely empty of stars. There was nothing in there. And so the telescope focused in on that blank area of sky and then zoomed in. When the 342 deep field pictures were digitally assembled, astronomers counted 1,500 discernible galaxies. Not stars. Galaxies. In that one little slice of black sky. On my flight home last night, I read in the newspapers about the new $75 million camera that they've just placed on the Hubble Space Telescope. It is now probing deeper than ever before and finding stuff that is absolutely mind-boggling. It is doubling and trebling estimates of how many galaxies are out there, and it is producing spectacular images. One of the spectacular pictures is of two galaxies that appear to be colliding. It's nicknamed the tadpole because it has this string of stars out at the end of it that is absolutely incredible. It stretches for 400 tadpole is 420 million light years away. You can tell why they just discovered it. Now, for those of you who aren't that very scientific, like me, a light year is the distance that it takes for light to travel in a vacuum in 1 year at about 300,000 kilometers a second. So if light's traveling that fast for a year, if it travels that fast and that's how far it gets, that's a light year. Well, this galaxy they just discovered is 420 million light years away. And behind that galaxy, the Hubble telescope discovered another 6,000 discernible galaxies. What happens to your mind when you think of this? In Jeremiah 23:23-24, God says, "Am I only a God nearby and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him? Do not I fill heaven and the earth?" Dear friends, the one true living God is so vast that He fills the entire universe and He goes beyond it. Indeed, He holds the entire universe in the palm of His hand. The Bible teaches us that God transcends space. He fills it, but He goes beyond it. Space is a creation. God is beyond His creation. God is everywhere present in and beyond His creation. And it is this God, dear friends, who knows every single thing, every single detail about this macro universe which I've been just describing. He knows every detail. He knows those pictures out there. He knows what's happening. He knows all that we're trying to discover. He knows every detail. And He also knows every detail about the micro universes found inside of every atom in the universe. He knows it all. And you know what? This God who fills and goes beyond the entire universe and knows every detail about the macro and micro universes also knows every single detail about your life. Every detail. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows which ones fell out this morning. He sees a bird drop in the street. He knows every single detail. But get this. God is not just the all-powerful, all-knowing, transcendent being. He is also the immanent God. Immanent means He comes near. He gets involved with His creation. The second thing God alerts us to about Himself with His questions here is not just who He is, but what He does. God acts in ways that obviously only God can act. No other God can compare with the sovereign of the universe. The bottom line is, if God is big enough and wise enough and strong enough to fashion this entire universe, do you think that there is anything outside the boundaries of His power or ability? Good morning. Is there? But think about it. How often you and I dwell down here like little bugs on a rug, completely oblivious to the fact of who God is and how He operates. We're completely devoid of the understanding that the same God who strung out that entire universe and knows every detail of it also wants to be involved. Wants to be involved in your life and mine. And He does get involved. Oh, He gets involved. In Isaiah 43:13, He says, "When I act, who can reverse it?" Isaiah 45:11, "Concerning things to come, do you question me about my children or give me orders about the work of my hands?" Jeremiah 23:28-29, "For what has straw to do with grain? Is not my word like fire and like a hammer that breaks rocks in pieces?" Jeremiah 49:19-44, "Who is the chosen one I will appoint for this? Who is like me and who can challenge me? And what shepherd can stand against me?" God is saying, hey, if I want to do something, folks, guess what? I'm going to do it. Nobody is going to stand against me. Not only does God transcend space and have no limitation on power, but He also transcends time. God is at the beginning of time and at the end of time at the same time. Now that boggles the human mind because we are time-bound creatures and we can't get out of it right now. But God sees tomorrow as clearly as He sees yesterday. Do you hear that? It's important to understand about God. That is why God is able to tell us in advance of what's coming. That's why He's able to predict with a 100% accuracy what is ahead of us. In Isaiah 44, verse 8, He said, "Did not I proclaim this? Did not I foretell it long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? I know what's coming, and I've already declared the end from the beginning." Isaiah 48:14, "Which of the idols has foretold these things?" Do you see the challenge He's throwing out? Which of those idols that you worship secretly? Which of those idols that you really bow down to in the quietness of your heart? Which of those things that you give your life to, that you place highest priority on? Which of those things can act like I do? Which of them can tell you what is coming tomorrow? Anyone? Any single one of them? None. There is no God beside me. Absolutely none. If you ever do a study on comparative religions, you will notice many similarities. Many. But there are many things that set the God of the Bible and the Bible apart from all others, revealing God to be absolutely one of a kind. And this is the issue with this issue right here is one of those hallmark distinctions. The God of the Bible reveals the future. Mark that down. The true and living God reveals the future. He gives prophecy. All through the Scriptures, there are hundreds and hundreds of prophecies. And that is unique to the Holy Bible. There are many religious writings all over the world, but only the Bible contains prophecy. Mark that down. When you get into debate or questions with people, ask them about it. Only the Bible contains prophecy, the prediction of the future. Now, I'm not talking about predictions that people make nowadays. A lot of people make predictions. But the Scripture says if you want to know who a true prophet is and who a false prophet is, the true prophet, always, if they're speaking on behalf of God, every single time they are 100% accurate. Not 99.5, not 99.9. God never makes a mistake. because he is always, always accurate. There are over 200 prophecies in the Old Testament concerning the life and ministry of Jesus. Some of you know that. Over 200. Not 5, not 10, over 200. Do you know what the odds are of all of those happening, coming to fulfillment in any one person, in any at any place in time in human history? The odds of that happening would be like taking a blindfolded person, having them string a bow and shoot it up into the sky and hitting a 2-foot bullseye on the backside of a star 100 million light years away. But they all came true in Jesus Christ. Accident, you say? No. God says, is there any God besides me? I know how to do this, folks. I know how to do it. Isaiah 45:21. Who foretold this long ago? Who declared it from the distant past? Was it not I, the Lord? And there is no God apart from me. And then he describes himself. A righteous God and a Savior. There is none like me. And herein lies the most essential part of God's work that sets him apart from all other supposed gods. Most cultures have some idea of a God with creative powers. Most cultures have some idea of gods with knowledge or strength or abilities beyond their own. Most cultures have some idea of a God or with values or standards. But in all the world, there is only one all-powerful, all-knowing Creator God who transcends space and time and who willingly entered space and time in order to rescue the very ones who had wandered away from Him. There's only one. Only one God. God says, there is no God apart from me. A righteous God and a Savior. There is none but me. Will you bow your head, please, with me? Father, this information this morning that comes from your word is more than just stuff to file under our mental theological systems. It's more than just to pass a test on Bible knowledge. Father, you speak to our hearts this morning because you do not want us to be taken away running after false gods, whatever their name, whatever their shape, whatever their focus. You want us to know and to experience the one true living God. And so we pray, O God, this morning that you would open our hearts by your Spirit. Open the eyes of our spirit to see you, to understand who you are as you have revealed yourself in the Word of God. And help us to submit our lives to you. Help us to partner with you in that which you have done on our behalf. We pray, Lord, that as we participate in this meal of remembrance this morning, that even in this, by this, through this, you would quicken our hearts and help us long to know you in the depths of our being. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.